Well, good evening and welcome to Take a Sip with Rob and Tanya. I'm Rob.
I'm Tanya.
Cheers, baby.
Cheers. Clink, clink, clink. Clink, clink.
Little vodka to get the show started right.
Yes.
Pour yourself one, have a seat, and let's get into it. Yeah. We are talking today about relationships, somewhat about things we like in a relationship, and we're going to use this video as a point of departure. I'm going to play it in full at the beginning so you can hear it, and then we will kind of talk about it one by one. This woman talks about five different things mm-hmm. that she's learned from relationships, and we're going to give our two cents mm-hmm. on what we think about them as soon as I turn my phone up. So here's the video.
More things men will not tell you. At the end of the day, doesn't give a fuck what you look like. He cares about how you make him feel. He doesn't want you to make dinner or pack his lunches or make his plate because he's lazy. It truly tastes different when somebody you love makes your food or preps that plate. It is just different. That dog that he has, don't ever try to make him get rid of it. He loves that animal as much as his own children. Every man deep down somewhere is always scared he's gonna lose you to somebody better. He will always think he is not good enough because of what society has told him. So in his head, if somebody else makes more money, is more attractive, you're going to leave him. No matter how much you love him, how much you say you do, if you're married, there's always going to be that fear. Your touch on a bad day, a woman's touch that he truly loves, girlfriend, fiance, wife, doesn't matter, the girl he loves, that hug, that forehead fucking kiss, that hand here or here, when he's had a shit day, when he's breaking down, can literally hold him back together. It will fuse all the broken parts. They put so much love into their women. This is why they're sick of everything going on in the world and how they're treated. Because you have the power to heal him or break him.
And that's the video. So this is from a creator. It is on TikTok. It is at Murphy's Law 91. She also has another header tag of FFLA. So I want to make sure we give her credit.
Okay.
So there's a lot in there.
There was a lot in there. Yeah. So some I agree with, some I don't.
Yeah, and I suspect we may agree on some and disagree on some.
Yeah, okay. So that's what makes it fun. Yeah, that's what makes it hip-hop.
That's what makes it hip-hop. That's become like our catchphrase around the house, which I hope you know that reference. If you don't, just Google it because it's hilarious. And it really does have a lot of nonsensical uses, which is usually how I use it. We just get done saying something and then I'm like, and that's what makes it hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's go back and listen to the first one and then I'll pause it and then we can talk about that one.
At the end of the day, doesn't give a fuck what you look like. He cares about how you make him feel.
Men don't care about what you look like. They just care about how you make them feel. Have you found that to be true?
I think most men that I've come in contact with, they care a lot about what you look like.
Yeah.
Y'all are very superficial that way. And
I thought you were going to say visual.
And visual, yes. Both of those.
We're just very visual. It's not that we're shallow.
Oh, okay. Or superficial.
Right, huh? right.
Okay,
right.
You're just very visual.
Right.
Yes, most men that I've come in contact with are very visual and they do care what you look like.
Especially at the beginning.
Now, maybe that changes a little bit as you get older and you've been in the dating world for a long time. Maybe you kind of, I'm not saying lower your standards, but maybe you're kind of like, if you were like.
Your priorities.
So if you, maybe.
Lower your priorities.
Lower your priorities. Exactly.
Reorder your priorities.
Like maybe you were kind of this person who was like, no, she's not a 10. She's not blonde, blue eyes, and, you know, weigh a buck. No. You know, but then as you get older, maybe you're like, okay, well, she can weigh a little bit more than a buck.
110, 115.
Maybe she doesn't have to be blonde. Maybe she could have more curves. I'm okay with that. Right, like maybe you kind of like adjust what your 100% must-haves were.
Right, right. I don't think I just speak personally, but also what I think I know from other, I have some men who are friends.
You're speaking, some friends who are men. Y'all all go to the same meetings and stuff, huh?
We do. In my experience, I don't think the physical part or the way that you look becomes less important as you get older.
Yeah.
But I think as you get deeper into a relationship, it becomes less important, right?
So, but you got to get to that part first.
Well, you
and
do.
Y'all are like, you're not going to get to that part if you don't find them attractive.
Right. But I mean, let's say, for instance, over the course of a relationship, somebody gains weight or the wrinkles come in. Like, I think, it, you know, if you're still in
you
love with your
me
person.
You say wrinkles coming in? What?
Why,
excuse me?
Botox going out of business? I think we're still good on that front. So, no, that I think once you get into a relationship, yeah, if you love this person, you're on the same page and your relationship is going well. The fact that somebody changes during the course of that relationship.
Well, of course, yeah. You already invested then.
Yeah. But I don't... I'm sorry to cut you off.
I'm just saying you're already attached and invested at that point.
But you don't think some dudes go the other way and they're like, this is what we came to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I know there are some guys, and I have been in contact with females who are like, yeah, he said, like, if I gain any more weight, like, that's it.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Right. Which is shitty, which really... If you're in a good relationship, that shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing. No. That's shitty.
But it does come back to, I mean, yeah, there's got to be, more often than not, that physical catch so that you have a chance to get invested in the person. I mean, we've watched that show, and I noticed on the videos, I talk with my hands a lot, and you don't.
Yeah.
You're like...
I'm trying not to, because I am a person that talks with my hands, and I feel like I have so much stuff around me that I will like either knock my drink over, knock my mic over, do something to the laptop. So I'm literally like, I am so like self-conscious with my hands because I am like we're both hand talkers.
Yeah,
like
we
move around
a
lot when we talk.
You're like you're on a $25,000 pyramid. Like you can't use my hands to express myself.
I really am because I can like get to talking and my hands moving and now my drink will go flying.
Yeah. I just noticed that. So as
good observation.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm very observant. Yeah. I mean, we still need that hook at some level to, you know, be attracted to engage at some level,
right.
Which is, you know, we watched that show. What was that? The
Love
one
is Blind.
Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
he almost hit me in the head. He's talking with his hands so much, you guys.
So, you know, obviously that's a unique experience where I can see where you can become invested and become like attracted emotionally to this person. You know, through a wall.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that's a thing.
Yeah.
In real life, that's not really, there's not an occasion for that.
There's not. However, I do find that show fascinating because, and you and I have watched a few seasons together. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating because I feel like you can become attached to somebody through words, right?
Yeah.
And through just your conversations and stuff.
Yeah.
So depending on, I can't remember how long they keep them in those pods before they get together, but it sounds like it's a while,
it's at
right?
least a couple weeks.
Yeah. So I think I would take it further. I think if you and I like were in that and we had to talk for at least 3 weeks, I think I could see myself becoming attached to somebody based on how they, what they said to me, mm-hmm. how our communication was.
Yeah.
But man, once them doors open and you look like somebody from, you know, a awful character from Game of Thrones or something, I'm just gonna
like
be,
Land of the Lost.
That would really be unfortunate because it's just like, I mean, you have to have some level of attraction there. So, what was her other part? She said, they don't care what you look like.
It's about how you make them feel.
It's how you make them feel. So now, okay, so we've covered kind of the attraction part,
mm-hmm.
right? So is that true in how we make you feel?
I mean, ultimately, that's always important, I think. Because, you know, we want to feel appreciated. We want to feel important at some level. You know, and if, you know, maybe we want to be made to feel that we're smart or conscientious, whatever the things we value in ourselves, we probably like to see reflected from you. If I think I'm smart, like if every once in a while, like, man, you're so smart. You just, that was really a good, great take you had on
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will definitely like, that hits my, I don't know, pleasure center, whatever you want to call it, that like reinforce, like, oh, you know what? This girl's all right. You know, she notices the good parts of me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, how you make us feel is certainly important. And I think that's true from the beginning. You know, I was going to say one thing on the first part, just to kind of close that loop. That,
got the looks.
Yeah, that so I can see, for instance, if you have the occasion to really get to know somebody,
mm-hmm.
I think looks become less important. Like maybe, let's say we work together
mm-hmm.
for a couple of years. And maybe my take on you or whoever this person was, oh, she's all right. She's, you know, 5 or 6. Like, she's not offensive to look at. And I know it's degrading to rate people like that, but we all do it.
Yeah. No, we all do that.
We all do it.
Yeah.
So maybe my initial take was, oh, she's like, you know, 5 or 6. She's all right. But I'm not, like, oozing, like, attraction.
Yeah.
But then we get to know each other. We hang out in the break room. We start having lunches. You know, I can see that getting to a point, I think a lot of us could get to a point where we're like, you know what? I didn't find her that attractive, but the more I've gotten to know her, I feel like she is, you know, who she is very attractive. So you take this 5 or 6 plus the 10 personalities, all of a sudden you're an 8.5.
Yeah.
You know, overall.
Yeah.
And I can see that looks becoming less important once we break through the ice and have the occasion to get to know you on that level.
Yeah.
Anything more on how they make you feel?
So she's talking about a dude, right? She's like, a guy doesn't care what you look like. He just cares about how you make him feel.
Yeah. So this is all about...
I don't agree with that statement.
Supposedly things that men won't tell you.
Yeah.
So why don't you agree?
So I personally don't agree with that statement because I can't get past the first part. Because y'all do care how we look.
Right.
I can't move past that part. Yeah. Like, I think that part's wrong. I do agree that you guys probably do care how we make you feel, but that's after we're already there.
But you don't, that's not in any way, like, tied to the not caring or not caring about the looks part. You think whether or not that first part is true, the right. second part is, I mean, everybody likes to feel good.
Yeah, everybody wants somebody that's going to make them feel good. Right. So that part is true. But the first part, I don't think a guy like is going to disregard how you look because of how you make him feel.
Yeah. And again, especially not at the beginning. You got to have that hook to want to spend the time, to get invested, to go on dates.
Now, maybe let's say it's a situation where you and I are just, we start out as just friends. You have a girlfriend, I have a boyfriend, but we're just close friends and we confide in each other. Maybe we started working together. And we're really close friends, and we've been close friends for years. Maybe you don't find me attractive, and that's why we're friends. But maybe because of how I make you feel, it evolves into something else. So maybe in that instance, that could be a, obviously you don't care how I look, it's how I make you feel. But I think you have to start somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you do.
I think you have to start somewhere.
You do. But I feel like I need to say something just because it's you who's saying this. Like, I know you'll disagree with this, but like, for you, for your reality and your history, it's never been a thing where like dudes just aren't attracted to you.
It has been a thing.
I'm not saying every dude has always been attracted to you, but I'm just saying overall, you haven't gone like years without dudes approaching you or asking you out or trying to date you. I mean, you look like
yes,
you,
I have.
I bet you didn't, and you just didn't realize it.
Why are you arguing with me?
Because have you seen you?
Like, literally, my sisters, I would go home after, like, I'm, like, super dressed up. Because I had gotten in this kick of when I was single. Because I was single, like, way, way longer than you. I was single for years. I would go out. My brothers would, like, you know, don't go out with your girlfriends. We're not going to approach you when you're with your girlfriends. So... got in my head, you know, like once a week, I'm going to go out by myself to a bar. I'm going to be all dressed up, look super cute, sit there by myself and see if anybody talked to me. Nobody ever talked to me. Ever. Ever.
Those are two different issues. I'm talking about dudes not being attracted to you. You're talking about dudes not approaching you. Those don't always coincide.
Oh, well, I guess that's true.
You might have appeared so hot that you are unapproachable.
Mm.
That's a thing.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Fine.
My point is that, well, I guess to you though, I mean, I guess it felt like, oh, they must not be attracted to me.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that was the problem.
Mm.
I think maybe if you would have dressed down just a little bit.
Oh, God. Now I was the problem. Okay.
Well, no, dudes are the insecure dudes. I'm not saying it would have dissuaded me.
Well, you're a very confident person too, so.
Shoot your shot. All she can do is say no.
That's right. Exactly.
Not asking is just like a no.
But for that statement, I'm saying if I frame it to where like two people started out as really close friends,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe he does enjoy the way she makes him feel.
For sure.
And he could overlook that, right?
Right. But that's what I think similar to my scenario with the coworker, right?
Yeah.
Over time. Yeah.
Y'all are just very visual.
Right. I do think, you know, in certain contexts, you know, we too can be attracted to somebody's mind or sense of humor.
Yeah.
But the question is, does that become just somebody you want to be friends with or does that somebody you want to be with?
Okay, so this is not on this topic, but just to give y'all a little bit of insight. So he has his phone over there and he has it on the video of that lady that's talking, right? That he plays for you guys. I totally forgot that he had that on his phone. While he's talking, I glance over and I see this lady on his phone that's paused. And in my head, I'm like, who the hell is that? Who the hell is that bitch? Right? In my head, just briefly, y'all, for a second, because it's like literally big on his phone, like just for a brief second, I started to ask him, who the hell is that? That's for a different topic. Jealousy.
Yeah.
Is it good or bad?
Oh, did you want to share? Did you want to share your take about the other charger I have in my car?
We're going to pause for just a little bit of humor for y'all. 1 week I was in his car and we were getting ready to go out on a date, go to dinner or something. And I said, hey, babe, I need to charge my phone. And so he says, oh, well, let me go in the house and grab a charger for you. So we went in, grabbed one for me. Okay, so like a week later, was it a week or 2 weeks later?
About a week or two. It might have been
2 weeks later.
I already had my charger in the car. I got you a second charger.
Yeah. So he got me a charger to use. So it was at least a week to 2 weeks later, I get in his car and I see like this gold charger. In my head, I've never seen this charger before in my life. Not even inside my house or in either one of our cars. I have never seen a gold charger.
Side note, you gave that charger to me, but go ahead.
Yeah. And honestly, that sounds like a charger I would buy because I don't like to buy the standard white ones. I usually buy like gold or pink, but in my head, I didn't get this, right? So he opens my door. I get in. I see the charger. I'm like, huh. I look at it. He walks around to his side to get in the car. And I said, who's been in this car? Where did this charger come from? His face. He gave this face, you guys. This bitch. That was the face he gave. He didn't say that, but that was how I interpreted that look. And he looked at me and he goes, that's literally your charger. You got in the car. And this is the tone he's using. He's not mean or doesn't even use a bad tone with me ever. But he needed to use something stern because he was frustrated. You literally gave me this charger a week ago. Remember? Like, he's just like, he's looking at me and I'm like, huh.
And I brought it to the car for you when we were going out.
That's the tone he used. Yeah.
So, no, your interpretation of my face was 100% accurate. Yes, it was.
So anyway, I'm sorry. I had to interrupt that because I thought that briefly when I saw the picture on his phone. I was like, okay, I gotta tell on myself.
Yeah. No, you're. I'm glad my face hasn't lost its ability to communicate.
No, it communicates very, very
good,
well.
Good.
Yeah, we got good face. We give good face.
We do. Accurate face.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. And your interpretation skills are definitely on point. All right, shall we move on?
We shall move on.
He doesn't want you to make dinner or pack his lunches or make his plate because he's lazy. It truly tastes different when somebody you love makes your food or preps that plate. It is just different.
Tastes better when somebody else makes your plate.
I have to say I kind of agree with that statement. I don't know that that's necessarily true for guys. But I do think there is some truth in that statement. Just even my sister and I, like, we would joke sometimes that when she would make me a sandwich or I would make her a sandwich, like, we both, like, the sandwich just tastes better when somebody else makes it. And I don't know if that's because they prepared it with love or if it's just, it's not what you do. It's not your normal thing that you do. So it's different.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like received kind of, wow, this is amazing. I mean, obviously there's love involved in that if somebody's, you know, making food for you.
Sure.
But I mean, is that true for guys, do you think?
I don't think so.
Like,
I mean,
are you, is it better, like, you receive,
it doesn't,
if I make you something, like, or whatever, like, versus you making it yourself?
No, I mean, and I don't know if she meant this metaphorically or not. It doesn't literally taste better to me.
Yeah. I'm assuming in our head, we think it tastes better.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, sometimes things just taste good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't subscribe to this phenomenon of, ooh, it was made by my person or it was made with love, so it tastes better.
Yeah, so much better than I would make it. Yeah.
No, I mean, I appreciate the effort and I do feel the love.
Of course,
you know,
yeah.
When you bring me breakfast in bed, which you do so often. We order takeout a lot, y'all.
We order takeout a lot. We're empty nesters. So we don't cook as much anymore. But yeah, we order takeout a lot, but I will order you and get you anything you want.
I know you will, babe. I think that one's a little overblown for me.
So I see a little bit of truth to it. I'm not saying it's 100% true, mm-hmm. but I could see how she got there.
Sure. And again, I do appreciate the effort, all that. It's just, but yeah, the food literally tasting better.
Yeah.
Only if it actually tastes better.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. All right.
The next one, she started saying something about a dog.
Don't ever try to make him get rid of it. He loves that animal as much as his own children.
So I've found that people do love their animals as much as they do their own children. Not necessarily men, but mm-hmm. I think I've found that people do. My thing is, I would never make anybody try to get rid of their animal because I probably wouldn't date anybody that had an animal. Mm-hmm. So that's, to me, that's number one.
What if I had a goldfish? Would you?
A goldfish is not the same thing.
It's not. You're just saying a goldfish is not an animal?
It's... You're really picking here. But obviously, I mean, you know I'm terrified of cats. So if they have a cat, that's right. Not going to work,
right,
no
right,
way.
Right.
I'm not scared of dogs. I just don't... I'm just not invested in a dog. And I don't like dogs licking or jumping on me. If he had a big dog, I would probably nix it. It probably would not be a thing.
You would kill that dog?
No.
Because I heard you
nixing and dating. I would that person would not be in my dating rotation.
Because I heard from somebody that you were happy when other people's pets died. I heard that story once.
God, no. No, and who told you that? My daughter?
Well, I think you need to share that.
Listen, I am not a pet person, and everybody knows this. So when my daughter was younger, and in school, she always wanted a dog. She always wanted a dog. Was not going to happen. I was teaching jazzercise at the time, and I had a jazzercise friend. And we got close because our daughters were about the same age, and they got really close. She had a dog, and we would often hang out over at her place. Her dog was very yappy. It was very licky, and everybody who knew her knew I did not like that dog. So one day... the dog died. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, because they really loved that dog. So I felt bad for her. So I was at home. My daughter comes in. I can see her now with her backpack. She takes off her backpack. And she goes, well, you'll be happy to know Karen's dog died. You know, she says it like that. And I'm thinking to myself, I turned to her and I go, why would I be happy to know that? She's just going, doing her stuff, like in the kitchen, getting her something to eat while we talking. And she just like very, you know, calmly and, well, yeah, because everybody knew you hated that dog. I'm thinking to myself, did this girl go to school and tell people I killed this dog? So I literally had to sit her down and explain to her that just because I didn't like the dog, that I didn't want the dog to die because my friend liked that dog. So if they like their pets, I don't want anything to happen to their pets. And I'm not heartless.
You are not. No, you're very loving. And you just want people to be happy.
But I would be heartless if a guy wanted to date me and he had a cat.
You would not date. And I'm going to share this story. It's not that you don't like cats. You are terrified of cats. And y'all, I did not appreciate how deep it ran. I knew pretty much from the beginning that you didn't like cats.
Yeah. I think everybody just interprets that like, she's don't fuck with cats.
It's right? Not that, y'all. It is way, 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 way deeper.
It's way deeper.
So let me explain to you when I learned this. Because we'd been dating, I guess, a year or two because we had just moved in.
Yeah, because we had just moved in.
We were in the condo.
Yeah.
And so we were renting this condo. And I think it was a Sunday evening. I think we had had dinner. You went to run an errand or do something. I was going to clean up the kitchen. And my ringer was off.
Yeah.
So you went to do your thing. So in this condo we rented, the garage was downstairs. So I'm in the kitchen. You had gone downstairs and left. And then I was cleaning up the kitchen. About 15 minutes later, I realized, picked up my phone and realized that I hadn't heard it ringing. I had 11 missed calls. 11 missed calls in about 15 minutes. And I just saw the missed calls. I don't think you texted me because I just called you back.
Nope. I just psycho-dialed you.
Yeah. And I was like, what's going on? I had 11 missed calls.
I was so freaked out.
And I said, what's going on? You said, when I went down to the car, opened the garage door, there was a cat in the garage.
He was on the other side of the car, so I could see his feet underneath the car.
And I said, okay, there was a cat in the garage. Like, did you run over him? Like, what happened with you and the cat?
He goes, did you run over it? Is it dead?
Like, what would justify 11 calls in 15 minutes? And you said, no, I just need you to know that there was a cat in the garage, and by the time I get home, it needs to be gone.
Yeah. And I was that serious. I was so freaked out.
Yeah. It was not a request.
And I think you even asked me again. You were like, he said you didn't run over anybody.
It didn't attack you? Like, did it bite you? Like, I was trying to figure out. But then that's when I realized she doesn't just not like cats. Like, ooh, I'm not a cat person.
It's terror.
It is whatever some of y'all, whether it's snakes or spiders or whatever it is, the phobia is that we all have something, right?
Yeah.
Heights, whatever. Yeah. It's for you, it's cats.
Oh, yeah. It's cats. Yeah. Yeah. And even when I got home, you told me, he was like, that's the first time I realized like that you're really terrified of cats.
Yeah. I just thought, like, you weren't a cat. You're not really a cat person. No, I mean.
So you just kind of thought, we're not cat people.
Right. Yeah. And I was totally cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of all of the pet hierarchy, cats are definitely near my bottom.
Yeah.
But, you know, someday we're going to get a dog.
We are?
When we're older, yeah. Just a little dog to keep us company. When we kind of run out of shit to say, we're going to get a dog.
When we run out of stuff to say to each other, that's when we're going to get a dog?
Yeah, that's gonna save our relationship.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Someday.
Well, great.
So, you know, when I'm like, babe, let's get a dog. You're like, oh, shit.
Oh, I need to be worried.
We're on the rocks.
Oh, wow. Okay. Why don't we move on to number?
Why don't we?
Four.
All right. Next topic.
Every man deep down somewhere is always scared he's going to lose you to somebody better. He will always think he is not good enough because of what society has told him. So in his head, if somebody else makes more money, is more attractive, you're going to leave him. No matter how much you love him, how much you say you do, if you're married, there's always going to be that fear.
Well, I mean, if they make more money, you know, I mean, if we're talking money here, that's a whole different topic.
You're only human. You're only human. Got to keep those bags up.
I mean, he's got $1 billion. That's going to make a difference.
So
is that true? Are guys always thinking she's going to leave me for somebody better? Or like, is that a fear? Obviously, that's not a fear for confident guys, right?
Mm-hmm. So I've shared this with you. I have a fear that one day you're just going to wake up and decide, you know, you don't do this anymore.
I know you told me that. You're such an idiot.
I know. But I don't have a fear that you're going to leave me for, quote, somebody better. Not because I don't think there are people
you just think better. I'm going to wake up and realize what a mistake I made.
Or just I don't want to do this anymore. But, I mean, maybe I've just been...
out of the blue.
Yeah. Well, I'm no. I think it'll be building for a while. I won't hear about it until it's just overflowing.
It's funny because I think I've shared the same thing with you. Like, I feel like we both have the same fear that somebody's going to, like, turn over one day and be like, are you okay if I just don't, if we get a divorce? Like, would you be okay with that?
I would prefer not to be married anymore,
really
starting right now.
I don't want to be married to you anymore. Nothing against you. I just feel like this isn't right.
It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's our relationship.
Exactly. Like, we both have shared this kind of a small fear that we have.
Sure.
We don't live in that space, clearly.
And maybe you've just lulled me into this sense of security.
Hmm.
But the fact is, and this is something that people who listen to this may not be aware of, you are like the most loyal person I've ever known.
I'm very loyal.
You are. Here's how I think your loyalty plays out in this context. And when I say loyalty, you know, I think you know, but for their benefit, with your family, you have over the years given your family members a lot of grace, even when they do things that are really crappy. You find a way to get back to a good space, at least the best space you can.
Right.
With your inner circle of friends, same thing. You know, basically, you live and die by the rule. If, you know, if I don't fuck with them, you don't fuck with them.
Right.
That's important to you. And and you adhere to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not
all of your friends do. Obviously, this doesn't address the whole, like, if I treated you bad, if I cheated on you, if I did things in the relationship that are clearly out of bounds.
Right.
It doesn't seem to be talking about that.
No.
Because that's not... All the rules change when that shit comes
out. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So, this is just like grinding towards like this epiphany, or I guess in her scenario, you meet somebody who's better or richer or whatever.
Right, right, right.
I don't really worry about that because I think if I'm taking care of my business in this relationship.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
I don't fear that you're going to be in that headspace. You meet, I don't know, pick Idris Elba, and he's available.
Yeah.
He's clearly better looking. He's way richer. He's got a lot more shit that I don't have going. I don't even worry about you meeting him if I'm taking care of my business.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, the only person you really need to try to keep me away from meeting is Jason Bateman. Because honestly, there's the only person I can say right now that I would probably leave you for
Wow.
is Jason Bateman. But he's married. I think they have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for him. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think you have to worry about anybody else other than Jason Bateman.
Which is funny because that's who I would also leave you for.
Oh, that's so sweet. I think we should be a throuple. We would be so cute. He's twitching his eye over
here. We could do vacations together. I think vacations would be fun.
Vacations would be fun.
It would be fun. Me, you, and Jace. But I call him Jace.
So, like, to switch it, I don't think as much as I give you crap and, you know, and I'm like, who is that bitch? Who was that? She cute. Like, as much as I give you crap, I don't sit over here worried about you meeting somebody better mm-hmm. or meeting somebody that's going to treat you better or whatever. Because, like I said, to your point, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for this relationship, then I shouldn't be worried about that.
Right.
Now, if I'm treating you like shit, and like our relationship is just crap. I mean, obviously, like I would be worried about that.
I mean, but I think, and that actually reminds me of something I was thinking or talking about, that when we got into this relationship, I got into it deep, like, you know, really dating, getting engaged and getting married and stuff.
Yeah.
We were pretty real. Like, we don't subscribe to this notion, which kind of, I view it as kind of an old timey idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this marriage, come hell or high water, no matter what, I'm sticking it through.
Well, no. And I don't, I think it's because you and I have both been in a bad marriage.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
our first, you know, marriages were just not good. Right. And we knew that. And the thing is, we knew that going in, as my grandmother say, from Jump Street. Before we got married, we yeah. knew we shouldn't have married those people.
Yeah.
We knew that ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I think because of that, you and I are very, we're not scared to leave.
No.
Right? And I don't mean that as a bad thing.
No. We both recognize and agree there are deal breakers.
Yeah.
There are reasons, the things that could happen in this relationship that would make each of us say, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right, right, right. And we have talked about those deal breakers. I think the good thing about us is, and maybe it's because we had, you know, like unsuccessful marriages.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about a lot of stuff before we even like got married. We talked about a lot of deal breakers.
Sure.
Here's the thing, like with any relationship, whether you're married, y'all just live together, whatever, you're going to have tough time where one person may not feel as, maybe not feel as loved or feel like things are kind of like shifted and maybe a little bit different
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. There may be times when I feel like that. And there have been times where I felt like that and I've talked to you about it
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. But I think what you and I know is that neither one of us wants to go through an unhappy marriage
mm-hmm.
life
mm-hmm.
we've done that before.
Yeah. Well, it's not a desire to leave. It's the opposite of saying I'm staying no matter what.
Right.
Like I want this to work. And I think we've both expressed at different times, you know, hey, this is something I'm feeling like we're a little bit off.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, I would like us to try to, you know, try to mend.
And sometimes it's just because you would have a lot going on with work or whatever. Maybe I would have a lot going on mm-hmm. just with family and work or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes those things can kind of make you distant right. a little bit.
Sure. Well, I mean, there were challenges too when my kids were in the house. So when we have our next baby, it'll be something that we can work through. We can work together.
Currently looking for surrogates. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed. I do not have the patience.
The idea of starting now with a baby. We're both 55.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, luckily that's not going to happen.
There is a really not great chance that's going to happen since the shop is closed, and that's okay.
So I guess we covered that. So what was your answer to that?
My answer was I'm not afraid of losing to somebody better.
Oh, got it.
I'm just periodically afraid.
You're afraid of like messing it up and just losing me.
Well, I think that's the way that this ends, if it does.
Well, just don't mess it up.
Well, no, that's my goal. Each and every morning I wake up and say, don't fuck it up today. Just one day at a time, right?
Today, don't mess it up.
One day at a time.
Okay, so we have one more, right?
One more.
Number five, final one.
Yep.
Your touch on a bad day, a woman's touch that he truly loves, girlfriend, fiance, wife, doesn't matter, the girl he loves, that hug, that forehead fucking kiss, that hand here or here, when he's had a shit day, when he's breaking down, can literally hold him back together. It will fuse all the broken parts. so much love into their women. This is why they're sick of everything going on in the world and how they're treated.
I think if you just, if you love that person, yeah, of course they have the power to make a bad day bearable. Make a bad situation bearable. You know, you come home from a bad day or whatever, you get some bad news. Of course, if your significant other is there and their kiss or their hug or just comfort from them, obviously, is going to make you feel better.
I mean, I subscribe to most of what she said. I think, you know, the part, it's just about being supported. And especially if you're supported in a time when maybe you feel like you wouldn't get the support.
Yeah.
You know, and... because if you're having a shit day, it may not be your best moment, right?
Right, right.
You might have screwed up. You might not have. You might be the victim of circumstance.
Yeah.
But having that person, I think when you come into it, like, you want to think, oh, my person's going to support me. They're going to have my back. And, you know, I generally live in that space.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, well, and just to share a little bit of realness, you know, I lost my job a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a crazy situation. I won't get into all the details right now. I knew I didn't deserve what had happened.
It was crappy what had happened.
It was crappy. It was ridiculous. But, you know, when I brought it to you and we were talking that night, I mean, I didn't have any reason to think you wouldn't have my back.
Yeah.
But the fact that you did have my back and you were so supportive, and whether it was a kiss on the forehead or a hand on, you know, mm-hmm. holding my hand mm-hmm. or whatever, that meant the world.
Yeah,
you can't even calculate how much that meant because, you know, I thought even though I was, you know, I know we're in a solid place and in a good place. I mean, I knew there was a chance that there could be pieces of frustration oozing out from you.
Yeah.
And that could come back on me as well.
Yeah.
But I didn't get any of that. And that truly did mean everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, that's not just guys, right? I know she's saying, you know, for a guy, mm-hmm. you know, the comfort, blah, 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 can mean so much. Like, I think that's both ways. That's male or female, you yeah. know, like can just mean everything to yeah. you, you know. And for women, yeah, the forehead kiss. Yeah. Have you seen Best Man? Yeah. The forehead kiss. Yeah. When she found out, she was like, oh my God, the forehead kiss. Ah, you got me with it. Yeah. The forehead kiss for us, like, means a lot. Like, I just don't know why. It's almost kind of like, it's like a hug too. Because I guess that's just so, that seems so sincere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So with a female, yeah, you get her with it with a forehead kiss for mm-hmm. real.
And we've talked about this too, that, you know, I think obviously I'm someone who, what do they say? My love language is touch.
Yes.
So, I mean, I always like a hand on the thigh or just grab my hand or give me a kiss or whatever. I mean, I appreciate that just in general.
Yeah.
It definitely hits harder and different when it's, you know, in a time of frustration or strife or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and so you like, you know your person's got your back.
Yeah.
And so that does hit hard.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a good feeling. And especially like for me, I will reference it back to maybe when I did have a hard time and I was with somebody and I didn't get that support, right?
Right. Right.
So then it's like in turn, it means even more.
Right.
Like it's even like higher.
Right.
Because I think you appreciate it more,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, I think that wraps up her topics.
Yeah, yeah. Did you say who the creator was with that?
I did. Let me hit it again.
I just
want
to make sure that we give her credit
yeah.
because she definitely had a lot of good to talk about and to debate. Yeah, appreciate her insight on that.
Yeah, no, and I'll let her know through TikTok that we used her thing for the basis of the podcast. She
awesome.
Can listen to it or not. So, it's the name above the picture is FFLA. The handle is at Murphy's Law 91 MURPHYSLAW 91.
Got it. She didn't say anything controversial. I think
wrong.
People just have different takes on that.
Yeah, and I think we lean into some stronger than others.
Yeah,
So I had come up with one question I neglected to ask you when we were on it, on topic number three, about the folks and their dogs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you said you've known people who treat or who view their animals like they're their children.
Oh, yeah.
Have you known a lot of black folks like that, or is that mostly a white folks thing?
I've known my daughter.
Mm.
Yeah, she's been like that. Like yeah. her little dog is like her baby.
She does. She does love her daughter.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I've known some people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A little dig at me.
No, yeah. No, no. I was legitimately curious because I view that more as a white folks' state of mind.
I think in general it is, but she is mixed. She's half white.
She is.
So
she is.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, look, thanks y'all for tuning in.
Thanks so much.
And cheers, baby.
Take a sip.
Take a sip.